We live in a generation that knows how to attend events, but often forgets how to encounter God. We know how to stream music, we know how to build playlists, we know how to attend conferences. We will sing along with worship songs, perhaps a little too loudly in our cars. But biblical worship is far deeper than just music. Worship is not meant to be just something that we do on a Sunday. Worship is not just singing a few songs before the sermon. Worship is not meant to be emotional excitement or religious performance. Worship is meant to be the surrender of our whole lives to God, because he is worthy of it all. Yet the tragedy of modern Christianity is that many people know the language of worship without actually living a life of worship. There's a difference between saying something and actually living it out day by day. You go to many churches around the world, and there will be those who lift their hands in praise, but have never actually surrendered their hearts to God. They will sing loudly, but they obey reluctantly. In public, they seem like the perfect worshippers, but in private, they're actually far from the Lord. There are those who will attend church faithfully week by week, but they've never actually bowed before Christ as Lord. Today, in our Discipleship Following Jesus series, we come to one of the most vital subjects in the Christian life, the house of God and worship. Because if we are meant to follow Jesus faithfully, we must become true worshippers. Not performers, not spectators, not consumers, but worshippers. Jesus said in John 4:23, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in this way." Friends, do you notice this? The Father is looking. God is searching. And he's not looking for talent, he's not looking for performance, he's not looking for religious activity. He is looking for true worshippers. So today we ask, what does true worship look like? And we'll walk through the word together and pray that God will open our hearts and minds to the truth of his word. First point, true worship is heart worship. John 4:23, we just read it. "The time is coming, indeed it's here now, where true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." To put this verse in context, Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And it's a remarkable conversation. The Jews and the Samaritans, they had deep hostility towards each other. And men did not usually publicly engage with women like this. She was morally broken. She was socially rejected. She was spiritually thirsty. She was there in the hottest part of the day to draw water in the hope that perhaps she would not meet anyone. Yet Jesus pursued her. She had raised the theological argument with him about worship in John 4:20. "Why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped?" This woman there in the heat of the day was asking, where is the right place to worship? And Jesus answers, there is no longer geography involved in worship. There's reality in worship. Not a mountain, not a temple, not a location, but in spirit and in truth. This morning, whether we were here or at Ashendon or at home or in our cars, we can worship God. The Greek word that's used here for worship, it means to bow down or to kiss towards or to prostrate yourself. It's a picture of surrender. It's a picture of reverence. It's something that involves an action, but more than that, it's something that involves a heart posture. Worship is not first singing, it's bowing. It's placing ourselves into a position of submission before our Lord. And spirit means worship flows from the inner person, not just empty ritual. I think somehow we can lose track. Well, we have a tradition recently of always starting with two songs. Then we'll pray, then we'll sing another song. We sort of sandwich our worship together based on a fixed structure. And there are times when that's a good thing to do. But there's times when we should just spontaneously worship our Lord. To break out in song. Now, I wouldn't suggest doing that in the queue at Tesco's, because people might think you're a little bit odd. Does it matter what other people think? We're not singing for the benefit of the other people in the room. We are singing to our Lord. We are worshipping our Lord. We are praising him. We are giving him the honour and the glory that he deserves. And sometimes that's not organised. Sometimes that's not neat. Sometimes that doesn't fit into a preferred structure. Our worship should be heartfelt. Our worship should be truthful. Our worship should reflect a sincere affection for our Lord, our God, our Saviour, our King. God doesn't want performance without passion. We can all, I would assume, sing loudly, but that's not the same as singing with passion. Neither does he want passion without faith. He doesn't want passion without truth. We can all pretend to worship, but we actually need that heart of worship in each and every one of us. And maybe you think, I don't sing that well. We're told to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And what we may think is imperfect, God receives with love. In the 21st century, worship can become entertainment. Lights, screens, sound, atmosphere, dry ice machines in some churches. You've been to places like that, haven't you?
Yeah.
None of those are wrong in themselves, but none of those are worship. You can have a room that's full, but an altar that's empty. You can have emotional music that is played at a certain pitch and a certain tempo that generates feelings inside you, but you can still have a cold heart. You can sing about surrender, but resist God all week long. God sees deeper. He sees our actual hearts. There was a little girl who once drew a picture for her father, and it wasn't artistically brilliant. The lines were crooked, the colours were messy, but the father treasured it. Why? Because of the heart behind it. God is not impressed by polished religion. He delights in surrendered hearts. He delights in our worship of him. Tim Keller said, "Worship is seeing what God is worth and giving him what he is worth." Have you ever stopped to ask, what is God worth to me? I think we rely too much on cheap grace. We know he loves us. We know he cares for us. We know he has mercy on us. We know that he has forgiven us of our sins. But we forget to worship him for who he is. Worship begins when Christ becomes more valuable to us than anything else, than everything else. More valuable than our sleep. More valuable than our cars, more valuable than our clothes, more valuable than fill in the blank. Friends, what is Jesus worth to you? Is he worth an hour or two on a Sunday morning? Or is he worth your whole life? Does he have the centre place? Or does he only have centre place for a couple of hours on a Sunday when you bring him out of the box or the corner that you've put him in? And then as soon as service is over, it's back and we'll ignore him until next Sunday. Central to who we are. Jesus' worth is immeasurable and he deserves our all. Second point, true worship is whole life surrender. Romans 12 verse 1. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Again, for context, the Apostle Paul has spent 11 chapters unfolding the gospel. He's spoken about sin, about grace, about justification, about salvation and mercy. And he says, "And so." Worship is the response to grace. We don't worship to earn salvation. We worship because we have been saved. We have been set free. Our sins have been forgiven. We're restored to relationship with our God. That's why we worship. Living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, sacrifices died on the altar. And what Paul is saying is that we are the sacrifice. But our sacrifice is something that's alive, it's daily, it's continual. That's worship. The Greek phrase for truly the way to worship, it carries the idea of something that's spiritual, something that's rational, something that's logical. Worship is all of those things. In light of the gospel, surrender to God, worship of God, is the only logical response. Worship is not just singing on a Sunday. It's not just holiness on a Monday. It's not just having integrity on a Tuesday. It's not just forgiving someone on a Wednesday. It is faithfulness. Faithfulness throughout the week, Thursday, Friday, every day. Obedience and surrender to our Lord. Worship of our Lord every day. Your body, your mind, your time, your money, your relationships, your ambitions should all be placed on the altar. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me.'" Daily surrender is discipleship. Daily surrender is worship. Someone once said the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. And that's true. We say, "Lord, I surrender," until surrender becomes expensive. We say, "Lord, I surrender," until it requires commitment. We say, "Lord, I surrender," until something else catches our attention and distracts us from surrendering ourselves to the Lord. But true worship is staying at the altar. True worship is staying surrendered. I've used this quote many times. Charles Stanley said, "Obey God and leave all the consequences to him." That's what we're meant to do. This is worship. Trust in him enough to obey, even when it costs, even when it hurts, even when it makes no sense. That's worship. Third point, true worship is joyful praise and grateful declaration. Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care." Do you notice the movement in this psalm? Sing, shout, thanksgiving, bow and kneel. A pattern, a process, a procedure to ensure that joy and reverence happen. Friends, worship is celebration, but it's also surrender, because he is the creator, he is the king, he is our shepherd, and we worship him because of who he is. The Hebrew word for worship, it implies bowing low in reverence. And the word for thanksgiving carries the sense of confession, of grateful acknowledgement. He is worthy of our praise and our worship. And our praise, it's not just meant to be an emotional excess. It's a rightful response. He deserves our praise and our worship. Now, some people may say, "I'm just not expressive." Yet, there are people who say that who will shout at a football match. They would celebrate a promotion at work. They would post their excitement online for everyone to see. The issue is not expression. The issue is affection. Do we love our Lord more than other things? Just as our Lord asks Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" He asks us the same question. Do you love me more than binge-watching box sets on Netflix? Do you love me more than going to a car boot sale on a Sunday? Do you love me more than whatever it is that occupies your time? Do you love him more than that? We express what we value. If Christ has saved us, silence should never be our natural language. If Christ has saved us, if we know him as Lord, we should worship him. John Piper said this, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Are you satisfied in Christ this morning? Do you delight in worshiping him above all else? Fourth point, true worship fills the house of God. Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Do you notice worship and the words, they belong together. Where Christ fills the heart, praise is meant to fill our mouths. A church should be a singing church if it is a Christ-filled church. We should be full of praise. But it extends beyond the praise and worship in the house of God. It's whatever we do, wherever we do it. Everything is meant to become worship. Our work, our parenting, our serving, our giving, our encouraging of others. All of that is meant to be worship. And we're meant to do it all in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 13:15 says this, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Continual praise, not occasional, not seasonal, continual. As Max Lucado said, the worship of God is not just part of the Christian life, it is the Christian life. Friends, this is profoundly true. Worship is not one compartment, it's the whole house. It's not just one room. It's everything. Let's come to the gospel, why worship begins at the cross. Friends, let me be clear this morning. We cannot truly worship God unless we first know God. We cannot know God if we don't know Jesus Christ. Sin separates us from God, and we were made for worship. We were made to worship him, but sin separated us. We bowed to human pride. We served pleasure. There are people today that will worship money or success or image or control, but they're meant to worship our Lord. Jesus came. John 3:17 says, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus lived the perfect life that we could never live. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. He conquered death, he conquered hell, and the empty tomb means that forgiveness is available to all who will believe and trust in him. The cross, it means that mercy is possible. The resurrection means that new life is real. And worship begins when repentance begins, when we stop bowing to self and we bow to Christ, when we accept him as our Lord and Saviour. Friends, salvation isn't adding Jesus to your life. It is surrendering your life to Jesus. There's a difference. There are those who think, I can still do what I want and have Jesus. But Jesus is meant to be the center of everything. Not religion, not church attendance, not tradition. We must trust Christ. And we do that by repenting, by believing, by coming to him. And he will accept us when we come to him. He will forgive us when we come to him in repentance. My call to action to you today is, well, let me ask, are you a true worshipper? Or have you settled for a religious routine? Do you find yourself praising him wherever you are, whatever you're doing? Do you praise him on good days? Do you praise him on bad? Do you praise him in the storm? Do you praise him in the calm? Friends, may I encourage you this week, examine your heart. What actually has your affection? What gets your best energy? What occupies your mind the most? Because that reveals what you worship. Let me encourage you to return to the altar. Lay your life before God again. Fresh surrender, fresh obedience, fresh holiness. Let me encourage you to rebuild the house of praise. to sing again, to pray again, to serve again, to think again. Don't let spiritual dust rest on your altar. And gather faithfully in the house of God. Because corporate worship matters. The local church matters. God shapes us as disciples in community together. There's a danger in the modern churches of becoming a spectator, a passenger. May I encourage you to be a participant, to be a worshipper, to praise him with all that you have. Friends, in conclusion, the Father is still looking, he is still searching, he is still calling for true worshippers. May Ashendon and Rayleigh not simply be known as churches with services, but as places that are filled with worship. May our songs be sincere, may our obedience be costly, may our lives be surrendered, and may our witness be clear. And may Jesus Christ be glorified in everything that we do and everything that we say. Friends, may the Lord teach us how to bow low and how to look high. May our lips praise him, may our hearts adore him, may our hands serve him, and may our lives honour him in everything that we do. May we worship God not only in the house of God, but as the house of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.